Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. This gospel lesson for the resurrection of our Lord Easter Dawn happens almost concurrently with the gospel lesson that we'll hear in about 2 hours' time from Mark chapter 16. There we hear that Mary Magdalene, along with Mary the mother of James and Salome, and some other women according to Luke's gospel, went to Jesus' tomb very early on Sunday morning, just when the sun had risen. When they reached the tomb, they found that the large stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And this is where the gospel lessons diverge. Mark records what happened at the tomb for the women who stayed there. John, as we heard a few moments ago, follows Mary Magdalene, who upon seeing the empty tomb, left the other women behind and ran to find Peter and John. Now, why did Mary Magdalene leave? What prompted her to leave those other women behind to seek out the two disciples? It was most certainly not, as some who deny the truth of God's word suppose, that Mary was Jesus' wife or lover. No. Rather, as we hear earlier in the ministry of Jesus, she had received the Lord's mercy in a most blessed way. Luke chapter 8 tells us that Mary was one of the women who traveled with Jesus as he went through the cities and the villages. She helped support his ministry by her means. She had followed Jesus because she had 7 demons cast out of her by the Lord. She had suffered greatly under bondage to the devil and his evil ones, but the Lord Jesus had delivered her from them all. Because he had been gracious and merciful to her, she followed him as he proclaimed the kingdom of heaven to cities and villages throughout Judea. She even remained with him during his crucifixion. She stood by his cross watching him die. And when Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb, again Mary Magdalene was there, sitting down with the other Mary opposite the tomb, watching the scene unfold. Before, during, and after Jesus' death, Mary showed her love for him by remaining with him. But now that he was gone, she leaves. What else could she do, though? The Lord who had delivered her from captivity to Satan was not only dead, but now his sacred body was missing too. Perhaps at that moment, the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 11, words that we ourselves heard earlier in the season of Lent, were brought to her memory. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe, but when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. And when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So, for all Mary knew, the stronger man Jesus was dead and now gone. What would happen to her now? Would the strong man Satan come back with 7 other spirits? Would he, along with those spirits, make Mary's last state worse than the first before Christ had saved her? And so we can see why Mary left those other women, why she ran to Peter and John when she found the tomb of Jesus opened. She had much to lose if Jesus was in fact defeated and gone for good. But Mary was not the only one who stood to suffer if Christ remained in death. We all would. We all would be lost. We all would be condemned forever if Jesus' body were gone, stolen from the tomb. St. Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right after our morning's epistle lesson ends. He writes, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Yes, if Christ remains in death, then our preaching is worthless. Your faith is worthless. Every Christian preacher from St. Peter on to this very day has been lying to you about God. Your faith is useless. You are still in your sins. Every single person who has ever died believing in Jesus has perished in both body and soul for eternity. And you who put your hope in Christ are the most pathetic people of all. But then follows one of the most important contrasting conjunctions in all of Holy Scripture, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ is risen. Therefore, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Christ is risen. Therefore, the righteous shall live by faith. Christ is risen. Therefore, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Christ is risen. Therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith. Christ is risen. Therefore, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is risen. Therefore, whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever who lives and believes in him shall never die. Christ is risen. And therefore, hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Christ is risen. Therefore, Mary Magdalene was comforted in her grief. With her eyes filled with tears that first Easter morning, she did not recognize her teacher, Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. But then Jesus called her by name. And immediately she recognized the voice of her good shepherd. She had been faithful to him in life and in death. By his word, he proved that he remained faithful to her in life and in death. She need never fear Satan or his demons again, for no demon could ever snatch her out of his hands. Satan had been overcome by the death and resurrection of the stronger man, Jesus. Christ is risen. He called Mary by name. And Christ has called you by name as well. He did so in your baptism. But not only did he call you by name there, he also gave you his own name there. And thus, as he said to Mary, so it is true for you. His Father is your Father. His God is your God. Because Jesus died and rose again for you, you have been reconciled to God the Father. You have been rescued from bondage to the evil one, from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Jesus has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into his kingdom, for Jesus is the beloved Son of the Father. And because Christ is risen, you are now the Father's beloved child as well. And so Jesus calls you brother, and just as he did to his disciples, go and tell my brothers. And remember what these disciples had done. They had denied their Lord by their words and deeds during his trial and crucifixion. They all left him and fled. But because Christ is risen, their sins were not charged against them. Those sins had been paid in full on the cross. And so are yours. Thus Christ is glad to call you brothers, fellow heirs of the kingdom of God, partakers of his resurrection victory over sin, death, and hell. This victory of the resurrection is known only by faith. Still in this life, like Mary, we know oppression and suffering, guilt and shame, grief and loss. But like Mary, peace comes to you through the voice of Christ. He speaks to you now in his word. In the word alone that you hear, the word which your eyes do not always recognize, says that your sins are forgiven. Death is defeated for you. The devil has been overcome for you. In the word alone, you hear that Christ has called you by name and that you are now his brothers. In the word alone, you hear that Christ is risen indeed and therefore you too shall rise on the last day. Like Mary, we have come to this place this morning with bleared eyes and tired bodies, not only on account of the early hour, but also on account of the many troubles of this earthly life. But here we hear the word of the Lord. Here we hear the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And therefore, even at this early hour, we rejoice and we give thanks, like Mary, who heard her Savior's voice, who confessed before the disciples that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so let us not be dull this blessed morning. Let us be glad in the Lord, for Jesus is alive, and through faith alone you are alive in him as well. Christ has triumphed over sin, death, Satan, and hell forever and ever. By his word, you are a partaker in that triumph. You are his brother by grace, and you are his always. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.